Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews, and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
You are listening to Zed Games, Australia's most beloved gaming radio program. We are coming to you live from 4ZZZ in Brisbane. You might be listening to us around the nation on the Community Radio Network. I am Lee, and joining me for this episode, Razor.
Hey.
There he is.
Hello.
Look at him, impish. That's Razor.
Yeah.
Tom.
I don't know what you're going to call me if you called Ray impish.
Probably, I don't know, goblin-esque?
Goblin-esque. I was sort of going for more of a gnome vibe, but... I'll take a goblin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where I'm going now, because now I've got to keep this going.
I'm not judging you. I'm not giving you any judging looks right now.
Yeah,
what
Jesus.
What are you going to say?
I don't know. Some sort of Nixie or Naiad.
Nixie.
I don't even... Is that like a World of Warcraft thing?
No, I think it's just like some sort of like weird version of like a pixie or an elf.
How many fantasy books do you read every night, Lee?
Yeah.
No, this is mostly from... There's an episode of The Simpsons where they go through all of them.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
That's cool, I guess, if it's a Simpsons reference.
That's right. You know, moldy old The Simpsons.
Since when did we care about what was cool?
Yeah. Speaking about cool things, like video games, what are we talking about on this show, Ray?
But you've been playing a quirky game, once again, called The Shadows That Run Alongside Our Car.
Yes. It's a visual novel. Yes. Am I supposed to talk about it now?
No.
Oh, okay.
Later.
Yes, it is good.
Save all that material.
Oh, okay, I'll try.
Yeah.
We also had another opportunity to play all together. Mm. This time, another quirky game called Overcooked.
Yep.
It's about working as a team in the kitchen.
Yes. A bunch of line chefs all attempting to get orders out in chaotic kitchens where anything goes. Mm. We're still all friends, so it must have been great.
Just. But not that it was just great. We are just friends.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's true.
I know. The game was actually really fun.
But before all that, the weekend gaming news headlines. So what's the first story, Lee?
It's been revealed that virtual reality pioneer and Oculus VR founder Palmer Luckey has been secretly funding a pro-Donald Trump group called Nimble America. The Daily Beast reported last week that Luckey donated $10,000 to the organization, which is dedicated to creating memes smearing Hillary Clinton and the practice of shitposting. Additionally, Luckey was outed as Reddit user Nimble Rich Man, responsible for several posts urging Trump supporters to rally together to win the election through meme magic. Several game developers have condemned the company, including Ratchet and Clank developer Insomniac Games and Fez developer Polytron. Luckey has since issued an apology, saying that his actions were not reflective of Oculus VR as a company. The contentious issue here is that Nimble America, the memes that they're making, tend to lean towards the like crazy racist and generally pretty bigoted, which is why it's particularly problematic. Like, he can be conservative if he likes, but he probably shouldn't be like funding weird gift-based Nazi groups.
Hate speech.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So how does this guy affect your opinion of Oculus VR then? I mean, obviously he's speaking as an individual, but you know, he's attached to this company.
Yeah, it's a tough one, really. It does influence my feelings about Oculus as a platform, which I've been a little bit cold on anyway.
Yeah.
You want to try and remove the individuals and their strange political affiliations from the corporation that they are the founder of.
Yeah, it seems like if I'm going to spend over $1,000 on something, it feels bad that it would end up in the pockets of someone who supports Donald Trump.
Well, he already got all his money, didn't he?
Yeah,
like, that's he's already got $2 billion, so like whatever he sells with the Oculus is nothing.
Yeah, he is like Facebook and Oculus and his role there, like the rumors about what he actually does or if he's still a part of it, like even that is kind of hard to untangle at this point. And the fact remains that there actually are some very good people who work at Oculus who aren't like millionaires hundreds of times over, who are definitely affected by the fact that people are boycotting this thing. So it's a tough one.
But do you think though that his actions have cost the company money.
Oh, I think that his actions have definitely cost the company money and reputation. And I think that's pretty sad for everyone who is affected by it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to boycott, and just on moral principle, and not because it's $1,200.
Finally, have an excuse. Under threat of hostile takeover by media juggernaut Vivendi, Ubisoft is seeking to repurchase nearly $140 million worth of shares held by the French bank BPI France. Vivendi has already acquired sister company Gameloft and has demonstrated an interest in acquiring Ubisoft, publisher of The Division, Rainbow Six Siege, and Far Cry Primal. A statement from Ubisoft called Vivendi's actions unsolicited and unwelcome.
They're really not letting go, are they?
No.
They really want it. Do they not know no means no, Vivendi? The Guillemot brothers have been like, please stop buying up our company. Please stop. Don't buy all... You bought that one. Don't buy this one. Now they're in real trouble. Why do they... Like, I would like to own Ubisoft, certainly.
Yeah.
That'd be a good thing to own. But Vivendi seem fine. They've got plenty of stuff. They sold off, didn't they? They had, like... They owned part of Activision or Blizzard, right? And then they got rid of it.
That's right. Like, yeah. More stuff.
Was this, like, regret? Like, they're like, oh, we should have held on to that. Get the next one. Like,
do they want to sell it off later?
Maybe.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, they... Gameloft have had a bunch of restructural things prior to and post their purchasing. So it's hard to say what their plan is, whether they're just going to like buy it up and then break it down and make it as streamlined and, you know, unpleasant as possible. Yeah. But that's a big company with a lot of IP locked up in it. Some of them are really good.
You mean Ubisoft?
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about Just Dance, that's all. Which I haven't played, but I'm sure there's a lot of people who like it, so...
You're right to be concerned, V.
critically acclaimed game Firewatch is set to receive a motion picture adaptation. Developer Campo Santo will partner with Good Universe, known for Old Boy and Bad Neighbors, to bring the first-person mystery adventure game to the big screen.
Lee, you reviewed that game for us?
I did, yes.
What do you think about this?
It's a really odd move. I thought that Firewatch was a really well-told story, and a story that I don't see translating as well over to film. It could certainly be done, but it seems like it's the kind of thing that is especially good in the format that it was put out. And the adaptation, I think, is just going to be something without the same kind of magic. So it's an odd move for them. I guess it's good, though, because Campo Santo are a small company and they deserve attention. But at the same time, let's make more games.
Do they? I mean, they developed Old Boy, the American version. And as I was saying before we got on air, the Korean version of Old Boy is one of my top 10 favorite films of all time. And it's generally considered pretty good. Yeah. Whereas their retelling of that story was pretty dismal. So I'm not a big fan of this. Taking what was a good story and trying to translate it into film, I don't have much faith in it.
Yeah.
And so get away from my Firewatch.
Yeah. Has there ever been a time where a video game was adapted to the screen, like, even in a way that was at least mediocre?
Tomb Raider?
That was at least mediocre.
Solidly mediocre.
Like, I thought that the Mortal Kombat movie was a fantastic use of $12. Like, that's,
I think,
production
you're showing
cost.
Your age now.
Yeah, how old were you at the time?
Like, I was young.
Yeah,
but
too young.
Yeah, well, yes. I watched that on VHS.
What's that?
You know, actually, I went to the cinema to see the first Mortal Kombat film.
Yeah.
So you go.
You would have heard, like, the piano music that they played over the top of the silent...
And I paid $9 for it.
And on the topic of video game to film adaptations, the animated Fruit Ninja movie is a step closer to fruition, with the rights being snapped up by New Line Cinema. Trip Vincent will produce, fresh off the heels of last year's blockbuster San Andreas. The script is being penned by the duo behind How to Survive a Garden Gnome Attack, with the plot centering on a team of misfits who are recruited into the Fruit Ninjas to save the world from a fruit-related apocalypse.
So, Tom, you don't think this is going to change the trend of video games being adapted badly?
Oh, come on, come on. This is a money grab, and, you know, I don't blame them for it, but there are two times when you shouldn't adapt a film from a video game, and the first is when it's got a really good specific story.
Yep.
Because it's already telling that story so well in that medium, why adapt it? The second is when it doesn't have any story whatsoever. Fruit Ninja.
Yeah.
And you know, in the middle there, I think there's a ripe ground for telling stories, but. Yeah, there's no, I mean, like, if the universe is really good, if it's really strong, if there are aspects of that we can explore.
Yeah.
It can be fruitful.
Get out of it. Get out.
Sorry.
But, I mean, we can, like, there's a rich narrative here. I mean, you've got characters like Sword and, like, Watermelon and Bomb.
I don't know if those are characters. Have you played the game?
Yeah.
Look, it's a juicy concept.
Jesus.
No, hey, I'll be serious for a moment. Okay, the game Jetpack Joyride by Half Brick. First up, great game. Secondly, that could be an awesome movie. Here's my pitch. Right. Ryan Reynolds is Barry Steak Fry.
Yes.
Sold.
Yes.
It's like The Rocketeer meets Deadpool.
I heard Ryan
Let's
Reynolds.
Do it, guys.
Let's do
Come
this.
On. Yeah, right. You can invoice me. That track was called Witch Beam by Jeff Van Dyke, taken from the soundtrack to Assault Android Cactus. My name is Razor, and you're listening to Zed Games. Tom, B, and Lee are with me. Now, Lee, you and I, and Tom, let's not forget, we went to a special little press preview for this mini golf course that's opening this week.
Yes.
In Fortitude Valley in Brisbane.
Yeah. Called Holy Moly. It's in a church. It was a church. It's been several things between being a church and being a golf club, a mini golf course.
It used to be called the Rev when it was a live music venue back in the day.
Yeah. Right. It was good. My expectations were set low, and I was really impressed. I was not expecting there to be a good mini golf course in the middle of Fortitude Valley, and yet I had a lot of fun. It's pretty rad. They've got some cool stuff there.
They did. They had a Game of Thrones themed course where you had to hit your ball up a ridiculously steep ramp,
yep.
and try to get it into the hole on the throne.
Yeah, the Iron Throne made of golf clubs.
Yeah,
that was great.
Which of course is a pun in itself.
Yeah.
What else did they have?
I think my favorite was the one that starts with you putting your golf ball into the pinball machine, and then using the flippers on the working pinball machine to land it in a hole that then rolled out onto a pool table. They had to sink it in one of the pockets, and then if you sunk it in the right pocket, it rolled down a set of sticks and landed directly into the cup. That's amazing. Like, yeah, that could be all they have, and that would be enough for me. You
that
know?
Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I would do that every day if I could.
Yeah, I think that was my favorite too, but I really enjoyed the other one where you hit your ball into a washing machine and then push a red button and it gets sucked up a tube and goes directly to the next hole.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of invention there. Some of them are maybe not, like, geometrically what you'd want. Like, if you are like a person who lives and breathes mini golf, you might be like, well, the angles in this are wrong, you know, and stuff's not working. But for sheer novelty, they have really outdone themselves.
And I think we should also point that this is like a bar and mini golf.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's somewhere that you go with friends, not to be super competitive, but just to have a good time.
Yeah.
And we were given one drink that they made up that was really fantastic. Yeah. It was called the Tequila Mockingbirdie. Which is this? I mean, if you don't like bad puns, you should really avoid this place.
Yeah, you should avoid Holy Moly, the golf course inside a church. Yeah. Like it was a really, really fantastic production values. Really surprising use of the space. Mm. It was a really fun party atmosphere. Way cooler than I was possibly expecting the valley to get. Yeah.
Hmm.
And B, you have been playing a game entirely unrelated to that called Shadows Run Alongside...
The Shadows That Run Alongside Our Car.
Oh, I was so close.
Sort of. Mm.
Yeah.
Not really.
I guess so.
Oh, man. Well, then, tell us all about your dumb visual novel, you jerk.
Well, it's another visual novel, and it's really pretty, and that was mean, and my feelings are hurt.
Yeah, well, what happened?
Get a shorter name next time.
Yeah,
so it's by Loxrain, and it's on Itch.io.
Yep.
Is that how you guys say it? Itch.io?
Yeah, there's some debate.
All right. Anyway, so it's on Itch.io, and it's pay what you want. But so it's a visual novel. It's super short. And basically, the zombie apocalypse happens, and you are in a car with a stranger, and it's just sort of the conversation that happens between two people that are just driving as far as they can until the gas runs out. And it's like, and they're two people who haven't ever known each other. You can play as either one, so you can pick that at the beginning. Yeah. You can play as Shelby, I think her name is, or you can choose your own name, and then Dustin.
Yeah, definitely choosing my own name then.
Yeah, and then Dustin, who's on the other side, and or you can choose your own name for him as well.
I think from now on we should refer to you as Shelby, Tom.
Yeah?
I think, yeah.
You look like a Shelby.
There's something Shelby-like about
it. Am I a turtle? Only turtles should be called Shelby.
Look, I don't think we should like bring up the ways that you resemble a turtle on the air.
So, it's pretty interesting because the game is basically all through this perspective of the car of the two people sitting in the front seats. And that's it. Just color changes and face changes and not much else.
Right.
And it's kind of depressing.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah, because they're in a zombie apocalypse and it ends basically when the gas runs out. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. It's just about the story. Yeah. There's only a few choices you can make, and I think there's 6 different endings you can get. But I played it a few times, and it was pretty interesting. It's a quick game. It's probably only like 10-ish minutes per person,
yep.
I think. Yeah.
Tell us about the writing.
It was good.
Are the characters memorable?
I think so. Like, there's a lot of questions that go unanswered, so it makes me want to play more, and I think that's the one thing I don't like about the game is that I wanted to play more and know more about them, but it just sort of ended.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also kind of good if it knows how to finish.
It's better to leave you wanting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So... yeah, and you don't see any zombies. There's no horror or anything like that. Like, it's just that the world has ended and there are these two strangers who got into a car with each other and just, they sort of try to get along, but she's very guarded and he's kind of, not weird, but he's also a bit guarded as well.
Right.
Yeah. Like, he's more willing to talk, but she's not really because she's kind of slowly realizing, like, how crap her life was before everything.
Mm-hmm.
So... okay. But the art is really nice. Like, I really like the art, but I'm a sucker for like anime-ish type inspired stuff. Mm. So, and yeah.
Okay. Mm. It's always kind of impossible to talk about like specific art elements on radio. Why am I even launching into this?
So what do you want to know?
Just like, what is it about the art in this that grabs you so much?
I just like art, anime inspired stuff,
because
I am a weeboo at heart.
Yeah.
She does a really nice job at the art. Her name is Aura Cyanide.
Right.
Aura Cyanide. Yeah. And I just enjoyed the art. Plus the colors were really nice. So you start off sort of like midday, and then as the story progresses, it gets like towards night, so it gets darker, and like the hues are really nice because it goes from like that really nice like pink sunset down to like a really dark purple and depressing and stuff like that. Mm. Yeah,
it's a really compelling concept. How do you think it, like, does it take advantage of that in a, like, appropriately?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, it's just a conversation between two people. So as far as a visual novel goes, it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Because most of the time for a visual novel, it's more novel than anything else. So you kind of have to imagine all the actions that are happening in between all the static characters that kind of not really move around on stage, so on the screen. So I liked it. Like, it was a different way to have a visual novel.
With there being one setting, which is just the car, obviously it's not a long game, but did you find that that was claustrophobic, or did they move that around a bit? I mean, did it feel a bit static at any time, like just two talking heads?
Not really, because they do have a point where they reach, like, there's a point where they reach down at the radio, and so there is a little bit of breakup, but I think you're supposed to feel claustrophobic. There's you're trapped inside of a car with zombies that may or may not be chasing you, so, like, moving around the car or stopping would seem kind of like a bad idea.
Yeah.
It seems like a really interesting use of the space and the resources that they actually have, given that it is, like, it's an itch game, and it's, I assume, like, single developer?
Yeah, Loxrain. It's just three people. I believe they're all women, but I don't want to say that. Loxrain is Lorelei, Lyska, and Aura Cyanide, and that's it.
Right.
So just three people working on the game.
Hmm.
Yeah. And it says on their itch.io that they did it over 4 days, so I think that's pretty good for 4 days, honestly, in August. Yeah.
I once slept for 4 days straight.
They did something while they, for 4 days, though.
Yeah, but, you know, I wasn't sleeping. I had a pretty crazy dream, too.
you were stuck in a car.
Yeah.
With a stranger.
Just driving for 4 days in my dream.
So, yeah, I think if you want to have something really cool to read really quick and, like, look at nice art and kind of feel weird about life, then that's a good game to play. And it's, like I said, only about a 10-minute, 15-minute playthrough. Yeah.
Would it be a good introduction to the visual novel genre for someone who is kind of curious about it?
I think so, because most visual novels are literally novels, and they're literally, like, pages upon pages of writing and dialogue. So, yeah, I think if you like that, then it'd probably be a good introduction.
Mm.
Yeah.
The last visual novel that you reviewed for us, what was that one called, B?
Mystic Messenger.
Mystic Messenger. That had heavy romantic themes, right?
It,
do Shelby and what's his name?
Tom.
Dustin.
Is there any
I'm not keen on Dustin either, by the way.
Is there any chemistry? Because, you know, if you're in a car with someone else and you may or may not be the last two humans alive, zombies are on your tail, run out of petrol. Look,
we've run out of gas here on Lovers.
So,
Lovers Lookout.
Yawn.
No,
yawn.
It's not. It's. I would say Mystic Messenger is more of an Otome game where that's the theme. Like it's supposed to be romantic. Where this is just telling a story. And even though it is a boy and a girl stuck in a car, it's not romantic. Guys, it's the end of the world. Where are you?
I think your primal instincts come out to fight, flight, or whatever.
Oh,
what have you?
Oh, no.
Flight or something else beginning with F that we can't mention.
It is just a depressing story. I'm glad I said depressing, and all of you were like, so what's the romantic tension between them?
Well, now, to be fair,
uh-huh.
Ray was the only one who introduced this.
That's true,
right,
Ray.
At the end of the review.
But I did jump on it. So, you know, as soon as there's anything sexy, I'll jump on it.
Dustin.
Okay, so how can we get a hold of this game? Is it on the computer or your mobile?
I don't think you should be allowed to get a hold of it. No, you will act inappropriately.
I want to make them kiss.
It's on itch.io. I believe it's just PC only, but you can do it for Windows, Mac, or Linux. And it's just on Loxrain, Loxrain, itch.io. So if you don't want to...
R-A-I-N or R-E-I-G-N?
R-A-I-N.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that right?
Because you spelled that the first bit, but the
second
bit was also
because Lox is
ambiguous.
Like weird and okay. Anyway,
so over the weekend, we Zed Gamers gathered at my house to play Overcooked, a 4-player multiplayer co-op game by Ghost Town Games, which casts each player as I've said player like 8 times.
Mm.
We'll edit that out in post. It's fine. As a chef in a kitchen working to produce a number of dishes under duress, like all chefs. But in this case, you, rather than just dealing with a head chef who is probably on coke and in debt to the mafia, you will be attempting to make hamburgers and soup while on three different food trucks that are moving down a highway
God
and shifting around at once.
Or
maybe you're on a pirate ship. And every now and then, the waves cause the entire kitchen to rearrange itself, trapping different people in different sections.
Don't forget the earthquake that would split the kitchen in half.
The earthquake can go get screwed.
Yeah.
Not a fan. But, B, how did you find your experience working in the kitchen?
I want to play again. Like, we're just talking about it, and I'm like, yeah, so we're going back to your house to play now? Is yeah. that what we're doing? I had a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Mostly because I was yelling at everybody, Ray. It was mostly just Ray. And it was fun bossing each other around.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough. Yes, I want to play it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tom, could you explain the core gameplay, the mechanics here that we're dealing with?
Basically you pick something up from X point and then you take it to Y point.
Yeah.
And then somebody else tries to pick that up and you try to get that all in sync so that it's happening in a smooth and streamlined way, but there are other things that you have to take care of. You might have to clean the dishes or whatever. And
yeah,
I mean, what I found odd about it was the only one of us that I know of who actually has experience in a kitchen was Ray. And Ray, why did you suck at that game?
Okay, I'll tell you. This game, it's not an easy game, it should be said from the beginning, right? Because firstly, you've got to work together, which is hard when you're dealing with incompetent line chefs, right?
Yeah, I know from experience.
Ray.
So basically, you've got ingredients you have to pull out of the box. You have to chop them up. And then it has to be cooked in various ways, like the meat has to be fried and stuff like that. And then they've got to be plated up and served. And you've got the specific sequence that you have to do. But what happens is your train of thought keeps getting interrupted, whether it be by the environmental challenges that they've put in. Like we mentioned before, you might be cooking on two different trucks and the trucks split apart and you can't get to the fry pan all of a sudden when you really need to. As well as, you know, your teammates letting you down. Which I did sometimes. Okay, I'll admit that. But
you let go of the onions a lot. Like, yeah, you drop them so many times.
There's several different facets to play. Firstly, there's the pure mechanical skill, and that's like pushing X when you got to push X, getting it to the place, to the bench, and chopping it up without messing it up, which is a little bit hard, you know, especially when you're under pressure. And then there's also the planning side of it, which is keeping that train of thought, knowing the sequence of events in order for that dish to get made. Thinking two or three dishes in advance, because, you know, when you deliver one meal, you want to have, like, the tomatoes and stuff chopped ready to go to cook the next one.
Mm.
And keeping that all in mind.
While four people shout different instructions.
Exactly. Yeah, and all of a sudden, different things will be becoming a different priority. Like, okay, we've got a meal that needs to be delivered. Let's get that out straight away. Or, hey, we don't have any onions.
We don't have any plates. We keep running out of plates.
Yeah, plates have to be cleaned.
Who's cleaning them?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's all these distractions. And it sounds stressful as all heck, but I found myself, like, just wanting to maximize my efficiency, wanting to do better. Yes, I admit that I wasn't the best, and I let the team down a lot, but I wanted to improve.
It was really hard with only three people, because you had a lunch date.
I did.
And
you're looking at me.
Yes, I am, Tom.
Tom.
Tom had a lunch date.
Otherwise known as Shelby.
And Dustin left us, and so we went from, you know, four people, and it was manageable to, like, three people. And then there were courses where they literally split you in half, but it would be two people on one side and one person on the other. And then suddenly it seemed almost impossible, especially for the person on the one side.
So you weren't given an NPC character?
No. No, you could. You could actually, if you had fewer people, you can control multiple characters on one control pad, which sounds crazy. Like, too much stuff going on there.
I mean, I wonder if that would be easier, you know, one mind taking over extra characters. But for me, it felt so chaotic. And as you said, I was only there for the first bit of the game, which was the easy bit anyway. And that was already getting pretty stressful. I mean, I think that's the incredible thing about this game. It for me, it really lumped on the stress and just continued to ramp it up.
Mm.
But at no point did I not enjoy that. Yeah. Every time you sort of failed a thing, it was like, all right, I think we've figured that one out. Let's go back and nail it this time.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing that you raise there, because it's so easy in games that do require everyone working together to get stressed out and be like, you know, screw it. It's, you know...
Ray, you're off the team.
Not necessarily Ray's fault.
No.
Ray is very good at picking up the slack, you know?
He's... What was the level that we tried, like, 6 times?
Was it the truck?
It was the three trucks that kept pulling apart from each other.
Yes.
And we... Yeah, I think we did that, like, a couple times.
Yeah.
There was no point that we were like, no, we can't do this. Mm. Like, we have to skip it or anything like that.
Yeah. We knew... Each time we could see where we were making mistakes as well, personally and then as a group, and we were trying to improve on that. And that's amazing. To make that fun and not painful and not make 4 people want to kill themselves and everyone else, probably everyone else first and then themselves, is a spectacular achievement on the part of the developers.
And it feels really good when everyone's working together and in sync and pulling it off, because it seems like some of these levels, when you first play them, they seem impossible. It's like, how the heck am I supposed to do this? For example, the one when you're in the dark.
Oh, God.
I was just thinking that.
Because you can't function without light in a kitchen in this game. When you can't see where you're going, it's crazy. But actually pulling that off felt good. And you get into what I call the zone, you know, in those rhythm games or in MMOs and stuff, when you're performing really well, you just, everything in the background just phases out and you're doing the thing in the game, and it's great. And to have everyone working together in the zone, it feels really good and rewarding, you know?
Yeah, I think this is one of the finest co-op party style games that I have played. Certainly the best this year, and potentially in many years. This is such a lot of fun to have with so few resources, you know? It's just...
Yeah.
It's great.
I mean, I'd also like to... I think part of the reason why the stress levels are low and it's always so enjoyable is the cartoony animations, which I really enjoyed. I thought they were quite fun. They actually made me giggle at times. what did you guys feel about that?
Yes, the cartooniness of it definitely it sort of helped to alleviate some of the stress, but also the music.
Oh yeah,
which was surprisingly melancholy. I don't know, like it was just like this sad, downbeat kind of.
Well, during missions, it was like pretty, you know, tense and fun, and then in between, because there's this whole campaign and a like cute little storyline where there's an onion king who's trying to help you improve your skills as a chef so you can ward off the apocalypse. There are cutscenes. There's a lot of stuff.
It doesn't need to make sense. It's
no,
cute.
No,
but I think we should expand on that though, because this story is nuts, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's an apocalypse monster.
Yes.
And he's really hungry.
Yes.
And at the start of the game, like, you've got to feed this thing, but you're all bad at the game, so you can't do it. And then he sends you back into, like, what, 1991?
Specifically 1993.
93, and you've got to train year by year to become a better chef. So you start in 93, but then it's 1994. And inexplicably, this game is a time travel story that's set in the 90s, where you have to improve your cooking over, like, 20 years. I don't know. It's nuts.
I kind of wish, though, if they're going to use, like, the 90s as a backdrop, that they use the 90s as a backdrop. Like, it just felt like worlds, because I think, like, oh, we're in the ice world now, and now we're in the haunted mansion.
You're a little younger than me, B, so you don't remember that in the 90s there was an ice world that we all had to deal with.
Yeah.
When
was I born?
Everything was very slippery.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, then I take that back.
But actually, the game is the structure of the levels, how you have to progress on a map, like, joined by dots, and you have to have, like, the stars that you get for completing the game. It's very reminiscent of the old Mario, the old Super Mario worlds and things like that. So that was a 90s game for sure.
And I like that you had to defeat the levels, like, they wouldn't always unlock. So we had, what was it? We had one level that we needed to unlock with 35 stars, but we only had like 32 or something. So we literally had to go back to levels and like at least get 1 star in a couple games. And that was pretty cool, because that definitely speaks of replayability.
Mm, yeah. I mean, it's something from, I think, the Mario games used to do that, actually. And mobile has really picked that up, but it's just, it's a really good way of making you go back and deal with old content. And it wasn't arduous in any way, because we then became obsessed with three-starring everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been talking about Overcooked, which is available for the PlayStation 4 and other consoles, Lee, do you know?
Yeah, and the Xbox One, and I think also the PC. So all of the things, yes, Windows, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. It is out on all of them, and it's a real gas.
Play it. Go play it.
You're listening to Zed Games. We'll be right back after this track by Anna Maniguchi. You're listening to Zed Games. I'm Razor. Tom B, Lee are here with me. Lee, exciting things this weekend if you're a aspiring video game developer.
Yes, it is the 10th anniversary of the 48-hour game jam happening at QUT in Kelvin Grove. This is a thing that we've been a part of a little bit in the last couple of years, but we've been fans of for even longer. Teams of amateurs and pros get together to produce a video game over the course of 48 hours. They are locked into the building. They just have to make games based on some words provided by a bunch of random jerks or us. And, like, amazing stuff has come out of it, right?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, a game is coming out next year for the Xbox One that was conceptualized at the 2014 event.
That's right. Armed and Gelatinous will be coming out on Xbox One. It was one of the winners of that year.
Yeah, a legit game. That's going to be awesome.
Really? They're all legit games, right? Walk that one back.
Yeah. A big budget game.
So for our audience members who are in Brisbane, they can actually come along on the Sunday. They can go to the Cube at Kelvin Grove.
Or is it the Block?
The Block.
The Block.
The Block.
I think
Cube's
it's called
the Block. To attend the barbecue and see the games and take part in the People's Choice judging. So that's at 5 o'clock at the Block. You'll be able to like play everyone's games and talk to the developers about it and see how insane they are from lack of sleep and probable like hygiene and personal issues that have come to light.
Lots of hygiene issues. Yeah. It's free, by the way, if you want free sausage sizzle, which is nice.
Yeah, what I really like about the event is that there's always some off-the-wall crazy idea happening, like that, just the inventiveness. No one deliberately tries to just make a carbon copy of some game that exists. Well, not many, anyway. They sort of, at least most of the teams, try and conceive like a totally original idea. And whether they pull it off or not, it's great to have these crazy ideas. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very, very inventive, fun thing, and everyone should come and check it out.
And that's going to bring us to the end of this week's episode. Thanks so much for listening. This has been Zed Games. We'll be back next week at the same time. We'll catch you guys next week.